how much we need Him. Amen. Have you ever looked for a hard-to-find commodity? We live in a day of, by the way, I know some of you are antiquers, Brother Lowell, amen. Got a pole barn full, amen. Some of you like rummage sales and secondhand sales, and I do some buying on eBay. Some of you maybe do. If you try to find a hard to find commodity, and say, well, what would that be? Well, antiques, of course. There are some things that are antique. I think of a particular hobby you might have. I have a 1937 RCA radio set. By the way, it still works. Still picks up AM stations. Amen. And I looked that up and saw it was pretty hard to find. There are lots of collectibles out there. You know, I've been wanting a 1964 Shelby Cobra almost all my life. Amen. You know what? They're hard to find, especially in my price range. Amen. if you think about it, you can think about something that's hard to find. They're usually characterized by rarity. There's not many of them. They're usually characterized by a very high demand because there's not many of them. And also a very high price. Can I say that the title of our message tonight, A Good Man is Hard to Find, can I say a good man is a rarity? Amen. Seeming to be getting more rare. Amen? They're not, and I say this as somebody that's in their 40s, they're not making them like they used to. And Brother Kelly reminded us of that in prayer time. He said, you know, there was a day when sons learned lessons from their fathers in the woodshed. Amen. My dad didn't have a woodshed, but he had a soundproof bedroom. Amen. As soon as he closed the window, I knew it was lights out. Amen. For me. But you know what? It's sad that we've gotten away from those days. Because look at the harvest we're reaping in our country. A good man fits into every one of these categories. He's rare. He's of high value. He's of high demand. I think of some good men in my life. Of course, I think of my own dad on Father's Day, all that he taught me. I think of other people in my life, people that nobody in here would know. A man named Don Alonzo. Don Alonzo was our baseball coach. Don Alonzo coached his son and then eventually stayed at it so long he coached his own grandson. Just throwing baseballs to kids and teaching them how to do that better and through it to become better men. I think of a dear friend of mine named Clem Fucci. Clem Fucci. Clem Fucci was the chairman, the head of the department where I went to vocational high school, the machining department. Just a fine man. Taught me so much about just not only machining, but just being a good man. Of course, I think of my pastor, who was preaching the day I got saved and taught me so much about being a good man. I think of Dr. Malone. I have so many great stories of Dr. Malone, just personally that I witnessed, but I think one of the funniest ones I've ever heard was Dr. Malone was a very humble man. He really was. He would preach to great crowds of thousands and thousands, but he was very humble. And this young man met him at Midwestern Baptist College, and this young man was a freshman, and he didn't know Dr. Malone from Adam. And he met him in this back hallway, and this young man just stuck his hand right out and said, "How you doing? My name is Rich." Now, it wasn't me, I promise you that, amen. He said, "How you doing? My name is Rich." And Dr. Malone said, "Well, I'm Tom." And he said, "Well, it's nice to meet you." And then it walked around a little bit later and he saw Dr. Malone with people all around him. And that young man looked at him. He said, "Tom, right?" Dr. Malone taught us so much about just being a man's man, being a man of God. Oh, there's so many others. I think of Pastor Marty Schott, who I had the privilege of working for before I came here to be your pastor. I worked with him for 3 years. A generous man of God, just taught me so much. I think of people I've known through the years, You met one of them not too long ago, dear friend of mine, Brother James Dean, missionary to Siberia. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That's a good man. That's a good man. Hard to find. I've met many of you in this room. Some have departed. I think of Earl Wedge. Good man. Good man. I think of Max DeCamp. Good man. Good man. So many of you I could name right here in this room. Good man. What's the context of our message here in Acts chapter 11? Well, we see the birth of the church at Antioch in verses 19 through 21. And you see how it was prepared in verse number 19. How was this church basically grown? Well, it says, "Now they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." If you know your Bible, you know that God has always had a plan to reach the world through the church, and all God's people said. The local church, amen. And what had happened was the church at Jerusalem experienced incredible growth. But like many times when that happens, it can breed complacency. By the way, don't let complacency root into your life. It's easy, particularly as you grow older, to say, "Let somebody else do it." Amen. Don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, listen, there is a place, the Bible says, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Amen. I think young men ought to serve. Absolutely right. But listen, seasoned saint, God's not done with you yet. God's not done with you yet. God wants to use you. Amen. And they got complacent. And so God brought persecution to the church at Jerusalem. And it scattered the Christians all over the place, preaching the Word of God. So we see the preparation there in the birth of the church. We see the progress in verse 20. What happens here? Well, the gospel was only being preached to the Jews, but now it begins to go to the Gentiles. It said there were those of Cyprus and Cyrene, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And then we see the power in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So the birth of the church. Then we see the nourishment of the church in verses 22 through 24. What's the nourishment? What took place there? Well, first of all, praise God, even in persecution, there was sympathy. The tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Why did they send Barnabas? Because he was the son of consolation. I would have loved to have heard Barnabas preach. I think Barnabas, Brother Boston, was one of those ones that didn't thunder. I think he had a quiet spirit about him. He was one of those ones that had a smile on his face and an outstretched hand. God help us to be consoling to people, to be sympathetic towards their needs. Sometimes we, and I know in my own life, I'm not preaching at you, I'm confessing right now. I know sometimes people can come with needs and you could say, well, they probably dug that hole themselves. Probably got in that mess themselves. Well, if every one of us had to give an account for the mess we made, amen. And so we see sympathy here. Then something else we see strengthening in verse 23. What happens when Barnabas comes? When he had came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. He said, you guys, listen, I know you're going through persecution right now. He said, but hang in there. Amen. Keep doing right. God's going to bless this ministry. There was strengthening going on. And then there was success resulting from Barnabas's character. Says there that he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. The birth of the church, the nourishment of the church, the growth of the church in verses 25 and 26. We see Barnabas asking for assistance in verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And then we see the attraction. What was the attraction? It said, when he had found him, verse 26, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. See, there was something that attracted people. By the way, that term Christians, it was not a term of endearment. It was a pejorative. Say, what's that? It's an insult. You guys are a bunch of little Christs. You're a bunch of Christians. You just imitate Christ. By the way, that's what Christians are supposed to do. Imitate Christ. We have nothing to imitate of our own. When we compare ourselves with one another, the Bible says we're not wise. Don't imitate one another. Let's seek to live after Him and imitate His example. So there's an attraction there. The birth of the church, the nourishment of the church, the growth of the church. Our text is in verse 24. Why don't you look at it with me? Speaking of Barnabas here, referenced all the way back in verse 22. But in verse number 24 it says, "For he was a good man." Now let me say in the negative, there are none good enough for heaven, and all God's people said. See, Romans 3:12 says, "For there is none good, no, not one." And all of us remember the story in Mark chapter 10, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what thing must I do that I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus stopped him cold and said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." And really, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who know the story, he said, "Do you know who you're talking to? I am God." Yes, you did say correctly, "Good master." Okay, he was saying, "I am." But other than the Lord Jesus, none of us is good. So when you hear this title, don't let it say, "Well, if I'm good enough, I'll get to heaven." No, you won't. No, you won't. The only way anyone goes to heaven is because of the goodness of Jesus Christ in our lives. Let me give you the message proper tonight. A good man is hard to find. Go to John chapter 3 tonight. And we'll move through our Bibles a bit tonight. I'll be done right on time. I mentioned, I think it was last week, Dr. Malone used to train us, if you haven't struck oil in 40 minutes, quit boring. I like it, amen? Very true. We'll be out on time. A good man is hard to find. First of all, number one, a good man has a good beginning. A good man has a good beginning. What's that good beginning? John chapter 3. In verse number 3, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh." By the way, verse 6 is a very important verse because it gives us the context of what Jesus is talking about. Many people have taken verse 5 right out of its context and said, "See, if you don't get baptized, you're not going to heaven." That is not what that means. He's talking about the natural birth, which is always by, ladies, when something particular breaks. What is it again? Oh, that's right, it's water. I remember my blessed wife as she, 36 hours she labored with that firstborn of ours in early stage labor. And I remember she'd be sitting there in that glider and she'd be sleeping like this. Or like this, I should say. And then she'd go like this. And we'd 36 hours of that, we went to the hospital and I remember her walking down the... And sure enough, as we were walking down the hall, something broke. The water. I remember when your sweet niece, who was here last week, Brother Jim, we were in a service in California, and here she was out to here, and she went, "Oh boy," right in the middle of a church service. Amen. Now, praise God, we got new carpet. We'll not be having any of that around here. Amen. And what is that saying there? He's saying this. Listen, just like a man is born the first time of water, he needs to be born the second time by the Spirit of God. Verse number 7 is the good beginning that every good man needs to have. What's it say there in verse 7? Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. All good men kneel at Calvary. All good men kneel at Calvary. Every good man I have ever known. By the way, there are many men with good traits that have never knelt at Calvary. They need to kneel at Calvary. They need to trust Christ and Christ alone. Not those waters of baptism. Not the good works. Not the charitable gifts. Listen, they kneel at Calvary and ask Jesus to save them. A good man has a good beginning, number one. Number two, go with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. A good man has a good beginning. I'm thankful that I fit that. I don't think of myself as a good man, but praise God, Brother Kraft, I did have a good beginning. I have a good Savior. Amen? Ephesians chapter number 2. Oh boy, we know verses 8 and 9. Good verses to learn. Great verses to memorize. Amen? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what, church? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Number one, a good man has a good beginning. Number two, a good man does good works. A good man does good works. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is this. There are a lot of saved men that are not good men. Say, why is that? Because they don't do good works. Now, listen, I don't want any confusion here tonight. You do not do good works to obtain or keep your salvation. You do good works as an outflow of the fact that you are saved. It's a natural byproduct. It's like an apple tree bringing forth apples. A good man does good works. You read in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 about what God has to say about faith and works. And he says this, they are the evidence that we're truly His. But can I say this? When you read about Lot in the Old Testament, anybody find anything good about Lot in the Old Testament? I never have. But you know, in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says he was just and righteous. You know what that means to me? Brother Howard, he was saved by the skin of his teeth. No crowns to lay at his feet. I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be a good man. I did have a good beginning, but boy, I want to do good works. There's a lot of good things we can do. We can get out and be a blessing to people. We can get out and visit. We can get out and share Christ, amen, with people. We can carry gospel tracts. We can drive a bus. We can teach a Sunday school class. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, a good man, a good woman, I can say that, does good works. Number three. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Our next two points are out of the same verse here. A good man has a good beginning. A good man does good works. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. A good man has a good beginning. A good man does good works. A good man makes a good profession. Last week we had the privilege to baptize Mike Forner. And you know what he did? He stood before this cloud of witnesses, this crowd of witnesses, amen, and professed that he was saved by Jesus Christ and that he wasn't ashamed of it. That's a good profession. That's a good profession. I remember when I got baptized. I was 24 and still had long hair. Long. I mean, we had it in a ponytail. My pastor told me exactly what we're going to do. And here we are getting ready to get baptized. And God was doing an incredible work in my life. By the way, still is. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. And I remember we got in that baptistry, and I'm sure it was cold. It was always cold. Amen. And I got in that baptistry, and my pastor to about here on me, you know, and he said, "This is Richard Zavodsky, and he's received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior." And he asked me, he said, "Have you received Christ as your Savior?" I said, "Yes, I have." He said, "Is it your desire to live for the Lord all your days?" I said, "It is." And he said, "I baptize you, my brother." And I remember getting ready to go down, and he's trying to figure out how he's going to do it without going down with me. Amen. And I came down out of that water and come back up, and sure enough, that big ponytail I had went shoo, whack, and cracked me right under the chin. Amen. I should have known right then it was time to get a haircut. Amen. I just remember like a bullwhip there. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. In those early days of Christianity, I wasn't one bit afraid to profess Christ. How about now? When's the last time we made a good profession to somebody else? When's the last time maybe you saw somebody and you were going through a hard time and they asked you, "How are you getting through this?" Well, sometimes we say, "Well, day by day." And not necessarily anything wrong with that statement, but boy, what a great opportunity to profess Christ. Amen. You know, in the tribulation, professing Christ will mean martyrdom. Not today. Boy, God help us to make a good profession. Number four, a good man has a good beginning. A good man does good works. A good man makes a good profession. A good man fights a good fight. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Bob Jones Sr. said, "A man who has no enemies is no good. You cannot move without producing friction." Amen to that. Amen to that. Last week, I became aware that I had a note published in the Citizen Patriot on Sunday. I had a situation. It was not a particularly confrontational situation. I was downtown. Matter of fact, Pastor Don and I were getting the mail when our parking lot was being paved. I was downtown. I was sitting in the car waiting, and this man came up to me with a clipboard in his hand. And he said, "Hello, sir, I'm homeless." And of course, my heart goes out to somebody like that. Amen. Come on. Supposed to, amen. Not supposed to, if your brother or sister's in need and you say, "Be warmed and filled," you say, "You don't have any faith," amen. So I see this person and he comes up to me. I said, "Oh," and he says, "Yeah, and I can earn income by getting signatures on this petition." And so I never sign anything without finding out what it is. Let alone I'd be giving up my mortgage if I did that, amen. And so I asked the man, I said, "Well, listen, I don't sign anything unless I know what it is." And he was very nice. And I said, "What is this?" He said, "It's to raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour." And I said, "No, thank you." And he said, "No, thank you." Everything was fine. But I wrote a little note to the Citizen Patriot and said, "The tactics of that are deplorable. The tactics of that are deplorable." It's not his fault. It's somebody exploiting his homelessness to get my signature to help small businesses lay people off. By the way, you know what happens when wages go up? Prices go up on everything. Just a little economics lesson tonight. And so I wrote into the sit pat and I said, I didn't care so much for the tactics. I got an unsigned letter last week. Don't you love unsigned letters? And it said, all 15 of us in our Bible study group read your article and are convinced that you need to read your Bible occasionally and follow the teachings of Jesus. Now, Brother Howard, you know what? I take that, both of those. I do need to read my Bible, but more than occasionally. And I do need to follow the teachings of Jesus. Just not the liberal version. You know what? I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that didn't have some enemies. didn't have some people that couldn't stand him. Why? Because if he doesn't, not fighting. We got something to fight about. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. Go back 100 years and look at the rift between the fundamentalists and the modernists. And I'll tell you what it was about. It was about the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. All things we hold to today. And there was men that stood, and I've heard the testimonies. W.A. Criswell was a Southern Baptist. And listen, Southern Baptists, they fund some things that you and I wouldn't fund. But W.A. Criswell tried to take a stand in the Southern Baptist Convention. He tried to be salt and light. And there was one time where he was speaking at the Southern Baptist Convention. Brother Merrill, there was 250 preachers behind him. And right before he got ready to speak, he turned around, and I'll just do it this way. He turned around and he looked at those preachers and he said, "You liberals will fry in hell." Amen. And then he turned around and preached. Why? Because a liberal doesn't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ saves. A liberal doesn't believe in a bodily resurrection. A liberal doesn't believe in the virgin birth. And a liberal doesn't believe in anything that we believe in. These are things, ladies and gentlemen, that as a preacher, I would die for. Die for those things. A good man fights a good fight. Fights a good fight. A good man makes a good profession. A good man does good works. A good man has a good beginning. Number 5, go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I'm right on time. It's almost 7 o'clock, Mrs. Merrill. Amen. Mrs. Merrill told me that brother... She said, Bill's children are... I'm quoting Brother Merrill. Don't interrupt me. Amen. Said, Bill's children are having something for him tonight. And I looked at her and said, aren't those your children too? Amen. And we'll be out on time, I promise you. A good man has a good beginning. Who said you can't have fun in church? Never came to our church on Sunday night, amen. Good man has a good beginning. A good man does good works. A good man makes a good profession. A good man fights a good fight. A good man, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A good man has good friends. A good man has good friends. Some of you that have been members of this church for 30 and 40 and 50 years, aren't you glad that you can look next to you and see that same friend that you've had all these years? What a blessing that is. This is where many Christians go bad. They get a bad friend. They get a friend who leads them astray. They get a friend who gets a little gossipy. They get a friend who cuts down somebody else. Listen, R.B. Ouellette said this, in your lifetime, you will either change your friends or your convictions. Choose your friends carefully. A good man, a good woman. Please, this message isn't just for men tonight, amen. Good person has good friends. People that you can lean on when you need them. Good friends. Good friends. Number 6, go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Good man has good friends. A good man fights the good fight. A good man makes a good profession. Good man does good works. Good man has a good beginning. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16. We know this verse. It's a verse we stand on here at our church. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the what, church? Good way. And walk therein. A good man walks on the good path. A good man walks on the good path. The old paths. They're tried and true. They're well worn. Amen. They're tested. God said, you know what? These old paths, you can trust them. I had the privilege to couple of weeks ago, Mr. Perry took me in his factory, Linair. That was such a blessing to me, Mr. Perry. It's been a little while since I've been in a factory, amen. They make cylinders there. Not much has changed in cylinders. The principles are the same. Those old cylinders, those design, they may make a tweak now and then, but that old cylinder still works. How many of you remember the ethanol craze a few years ago? Oh, we're going to make all cars run on corn. Yeah, caused a little food shortage, I remember. Yeah. And, you know what? That old gasoline engine works pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah. Why? It's old, it's tested, it's tried. Hey, listen, the good man walks in the good way. And that's why in this pulpit, up here in this membership, we don't latch on to every little phase of Christianity that comes along and ends up in the scrap heap. Promise keepers, the purpose-driven life, all of them end up being burned up. Let's just stay in the good way. Why? Because it works. It works. If people will do what that book says, it will work in their lives. If we'll get out there and tell people what that book says, God will build His church. The good way. The good man walks in the good way. Number 7. And we've got one last verse. We've got our last 2 points are both out of the same verse. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Good man has a good beginning. A good man does good works. A good man makes a good profession. A good man fights a good fight. A good man has good friends. A good man walks on the good path. Two more here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 16, please, church. Let's look at verse number 15, please. 1 Peter 3, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Number 7, a good man has a good conscience. What do you mean by that, a good conscience? When he pillows his head, he knows he's tried to do the right things. He's tried to do, ladies and gentlemen, what God instructs us. Not perfect, not sinless. But you know what Paul said as the elders at Ephesus met with him after he had been there for 3 years? He said, "I've tried my best night and day with tears to warn everybody." And he actually made this statement, and I think he's probably the last one to make it. He said, "I'm pure from the blood of all men." Why? Because he had witnessed and warned people night and day. Trust Christ. Turn to Christ. Repent. Turn to Christ. Repent. A pure conscience, a good conscience. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not good to have a scarred conscience. Amen. A seared conscience. Isn't that the kind of conscience that David had after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed, and then for a year thought he'd covered it all up? But remember, what we cover, God uncovers. What we confess, God forgives. A good man has a good conscience. I thank God for seasoned saints that walk with a pure conscience, trying to live for God. Even that age 75, 85, trying to live for God, trying to carry gospel tracts, trying to tell people about Jesus. A good conscience. There's nothing more tormenting than a seared conscience. To know that you did wrong. By the way, thank God the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Lastly tonight, the end of the verse says, "Whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." A good man has a good beginning. Good man does good works. Good man has a good profession. A good man fights a good fight. A good man has good friends. A good man has a good walks on a good path. A good man has a good conscience. A good man lives a good life. Good man lives a good life. It says there that these that accuse us of being evildoers, and by the way, there's a lot more going on now of that than there has been in the last 30 or 40 years. The Christian, it's you Christians. You're the problem. You just aren't for equality. By the way, we are for equality in America. Equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. You know what the latter is called? Egalitarianism. Equality of outcome. You know what it leads to? Communism. And you know what that leads to? Totalitarianism. A dictator that never has it quite as bad as the little guy. We believe in equality of outcome. We're Americans. We have a constitution. We have a process in the Constitution where we can make social change. It's called the amendment process. We've used it several times through the years. When people thought women wanted the right to vote, you know what we did? We amended our Constitution. Praise God. That's a great, great opportunity. When blacks didn't have rights, you know what we did? We amended our Constitution. So we are for equality. By the way, always within the will of the people. That we have something to say about it and represent. Why'd you say all that, Pastor? Because more and more people are looking at us and saying, you're just a bunch of haters and bigots. You know why? Because we live a good life according to this book. And it convicts them. It convicts people. People get upset about that. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I, if we're going to be good men, good women, you know what we need to do? Lead a good life. That means we may have to occasionally take inventory about what's occupying our time. About what we're watching. About what we're listening to. About the websites that we're logging on to. Those of us that have access to such things. You know, when Paul was talking to young Timothy, and I believe Timothy was a young pastor, probably still in his teens, he said, "Be thou an example of the believer. Let no man despise thy youth." Don't worry about those people who are going to say, "You're too young, you're a whippersnapper," all that. "Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity." God wants us to lead a good life, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, He's given us some good instructions, hasn't He? A good man, a good woman leads a good life. That our conversation... One day, by the way, God's going to shame all those people that are trying to shame you right now because of the stand you take. You say, "Well, I'm not going to be part of this and I'm not going to be part of that. If there's this activity, I'm not going to that." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Just as a pastor, as a Christian, I'm not attending a gay wedding. Let alone I'll never perform one. Never! But I'm not attending one. Why? Because it goes totally against that book. And you know what? There'll be people who say, you're just hateful. You don't want people to be happy. No, the truth is I really do want people to be happy. Right there out of that book is the manual for happiness for all eternity. A good man. It's hard to find. A good man is hard to find. I want to be a good man. Man, if you want to be a good man, say amen tonight. Be a good man. A good man lives a good life. A good man has a good conscience. A good man walks on the good path. Has good friends. Does good works. Has a good profession. Fights a good fight. Has a good beginning. A good man is hard to find. Boy, let's do our best to be good men. Ladies, let's do our best to be good women. Father,